From Luke 15, and I want to invite you this morning because it's such a long passage of scripture. Now, don't get too intimidated and lose me already. It's the story of the prodigal son, which is very familiar. Some people call it the parable of the loving father, which is also very appropriate on this Father's Day. But I want to invite you to follow along in your Bibles. So if you did not bring a Bible, no big deal. We have them. Isn't that amazing? We've got these small blue books that are in front of you in the pews. You can find it in your pew Bible there. It's on page 78 if you have this Bible in front of you in the New Testament. And again, we're looking at Luke 15. And as you're finding your way there, again, this is often called the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son, the parable of the loving father. Regardless of what we title it, though, what I think you'll find as we read through it together this morning is that there are some fascinating characters in this story, and it's one of the best known parables of Jesus. And because it is so well known, that's why I want to kind of take a little more time looking at it in its context and understanding what's going on before we read it today. So if you notice as you're flipping and getting there, it's a little more than halfway through the Gospel of Luke. And just like in all the Gospels, what we've learned up to this point about Jesus is that he travels all over the place. He's teaching people. He's preaching. He heals those who are sick. People are coming to him in droves. And in the Gospel of Luke in particular, Jesus eats with a lot of people. He goes over to people's house for dinner, like, all the time. He would be a really good Methodist, I think, because we like eating too, don't we? But he eats with all sorts of people. You will find him with the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless, those whom society esteems and those whom society would dismiss and neglect. All of these people are Jesus' people. And so I want you to look with me right now at Luke 15, just those first three verses. Let's look at those together and see who Jesus is talking to in the parable we're about to read. So verse 1 says, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. And they were saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' And so he told them this parable." And then in the next few verses, he proceeds to tell two of three parables about losing something and finding something, right? So if you look there immediately, he talks about the parable of the lost sheep, right? So there's a shepherd who has 100 sheep. He's got 99 of them, but one of them goes astray, and what does he do? He goes after that one sheep, throws a party when he finds it, and Jesus explains that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. If that didn't step on your toes, wait for it. The next one, he says that there's a woman who's lost a coin, and it's not a particularly valuable coin. This is like losing, you know, just a few dollars, but she sweeps the house looking for it, and when she finds it, what does she do? She also throws a party, calls everybody she knows, and Jesus explains it this way: there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then, when we get to verse 11, that's when we come to the parable of the loving father, the parable of the lost son. So keep in mind that emphasis that Jesus is placing on finding those things and those people who are lost. And as you do, what I really want to challenge you to do this morning is to also try to picture that group of people that Jesus is talking to, right? So we have a little bit of a challenge today in that this parable is going to speak to our heart and in our own time. But I think it's also important that we honor the time that it took place in originally. So think about those people. Maybe try to visualize Jesus surrounded by those tax collectors and sinners. These would have been the people who were the outcasts of society, the ones who were often judged by others, the ones who were probably fairly accustomed to feeling judged by others. And then he's also surrounded by these Pharisees and scribes, and they were sort of like the religious elite of the day, the ones who were a little bit legalistic. They really liked keeping the rules. So do you notice who is listening and who is grumbling in this scenario, right? It's the tax collectors and sinners who are listening. The Pharisees and the scribes are the grumblers. And again, some of this passage may step on our toes a little bit this morning. So as we read together that third parable that begins with verse 11, I promise we're about to get there. This morning, I want to invite you to see which one of the characters in this parable that you connect with the most, right? So we have the youngest son, the loving father, and the older brother. And as you think about the ways that you might connect with them, think also again about that crowd surrounding Jesus. So follow along with me. I'm going to read it, and you just follow along in your Bibles. We're going to start with verse 11, when Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' And so he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and he kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And he replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' And then the elder son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. What an amazing, challenging, hard, and holy story this is that Jesus tells to a crowd of people some 2,000 years ago. These people that were in this context, so very different from ours, yet these people who are very much like us. Some listening, some grumbling, yet all in deep need of the grace and love offered by the loving Father in this parable, the God that we come to know so much better through the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. So as you heard the scripture this day, I wonder if there was one character in the story with whom you might have connected. In our first service, there was a little one. I think he was about 2.5 years old, and I am certain he connected with the youngest son because he ran out of the sanctuary as soon as I started reading the scripture. And you know what his mother did? She chased after him. And I told everybody in the pews, was all worried, and I said, what a beautiful representation of this scripture that we are there for our little ones when they need us the most. But you know, if you've ever felt lost, if you've ever felt far away from God or from those who love you, if you've ever done anything for which you were terribly sorry and you asked for forgiveness, then maybe today you connect with that younger son. Or maybe in hearing this scripture this morning, your heart called to memory one whom you loved with as much grace and compassion as humanly possible, yet you had to watch them leave you, hurt you, maybe hurt others you loved. And if that's your story, then maybe you connect with the Father this morning. Or maybe today you connect with that older brother, frustrated, disappointed and disillusioned because you thought you had done everything right. You were so sure of yourself, of what was fair and just, and yet it seems like the only ones who ever get the attention and the rewards are those who don't deserve it. Or maybe, just maybe today, you walk through the memories of your life and you find yourself connecting to each of these characters, maybe to the times when you yourself were desperate and lost and sorry, to the times when you were either literally or figuratively standing on the front porch, hopeful that your dear one would return to you, to the times when you just couldn't bring yourself to go into the party, to celebrate with family and friends, because the whole way you understood how the world worked, right and wrong, punishments and rewards, your whole worldview was lost, and you just didn't know who you were or how to make sense of it all. What an amazing, challenging, hard, and holy story this is. Friends, as we consider this word from God today and have asked you to consider whom you might connect with, I know for me here lately, when I read this passage of scripture, I seem to have just scores of empathy and compassion for each one of these characters in the parable. And as I've been sharing with you these various titles that kind of focus on each of these three characters, what I've come to realize, what I really believe God is teaching me about each one of them, is that there is actually a little bit of the prodigal in them all, right? Now, how about that word prodigal? Let's stop there for a minute. How many of you have used that word in the last week? 2 months, I don't know, 10 years. It's not really a word that we use in modern society, but I bet you have an idea of what it means. So here's the interactive portion of the sermon. When I say the word prodigal, what's a word or two for you that comes to mind? What are some synonyms? No wrong answers, just toss them out. Prodigal. What's that? Extravagant. Well, you just nailed it immediately. I was looking for lost and wandering and rebellious. So raise your hand if you were going to say one of those words. Okay, thanks for a few of you. All right, good, good. Some of you are getting participation points today. All right. Well, that's fabulous, actually, because that is what the word means, is extravagant. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't think that was what it meant. I thought it meant wayward, lost, wandering, rebellious, all of these things that really defined what I perceived this younger son to be. But no, it does mean extravagant, and in some cases, it means extravagantly wasteful. And I think that's fascinating. Maybe one of the reasons I've been telling myself that I think it means lost is because we find it in the midst of these three parables Jesus is telling about finding something in someone who is lost and the joy that happens when a sinner repents and is found. I mean, probably that's what he's ultimately trying to help those self-righteous Pharisees and grumblers understand. But you know, even as this entire scripture passage is about the lost being found, it's also so full and vibrant. It carries with it these layers of meaning. And one aspect that I think God calls us to pay attention to is that extravagant nature of these two sons and their father. So let's look at each one of them quickly. And again, I want you to think about which one you connect with. So we consider the first son, the youngest son. It seems the youngest son was prodigal in how he treated not only his own life, but also the relationship and the resources of his father. Right? So in asking his father for his share of the property, this son was basically asking for his inheritance prior to his father's death. Now, that's somewhat insulting in any day and time, but in ancient Palestine, it would have been an incredible insult to make such a request, because it not only took away from the resources and the security that that father had and could utilize to support the family, but it was simply incredibly disrespectful for a son to treat his father's life so flippantly. In fact, in verse 12, where it says that the father divided his property among them, the Greek word that's translated as property can also be translated as life or livelihood. So this youngest son is prodigal, extravagant, and asking for that which does not yet belong to him. And then he takes his father's livelihood and wastes it extravagantly in travels and in loose living. And then he brings extravagant shame on the family, and that he travels to a foreign country, a non-Jewish country, hires himself out, and ends up feeding pigs. Again, remember those Pharisees who are listening to this parable. Pigs are not clean animals. There are so many strikes against this youngest son that those grumbling Pharisees have their judgment radars really flying off the roof right now. And yet, what this story, what this parable also reveals is how prodigal the father is, and that when the son finally comes to himself, I love that phrase in scripture, and he returns to his father, before the son can even finish his apology and request forgiveness, that prodigal father is already placing his finest robe on the boy, giving him his ring, and inviting people to the party to welcome this wayward son home. Again, these are incredibly significant in ancient Palestine. That fine robe and that signet ring, along with that public party, would communicate to everyone that this son who was lost, this son who was dead and is now found and alive, the father expected that this son would be fully restored. Not only was this father prodigal and extravagant in the initial giving the son of his a portion of his livelihood and his life, but when that son returns, having wasted all his father has given him, instead of condemning that son or refusing him, this prodigal father extends extravagant grace, abundant love on the son, even at the risk of others in the community thinking less of him for allowing this child to disrespect him so much. And then finally, we consider the prodigal character of this older brother. So when we meet him, remember, we see him coming in from the fields, from where we can only assume he has probably been working pretty hard all day long. And he finds a party and music, and he asks, "What in the world is going on?" And as he learns that not only has his brother returned, but that his father has killed the fatted calf, another phrase we don't hear often in today's society, but back then was a really big deal. You did not eat meat every single day because it was costly, it was valuable, it was worth something, and it would have been a huge honor to celebrate with such a meal. Not only will they eat the fatted calf, but everyone in the neighborhood has been invited over to celebrate the return of the lost younger son, the one that brother knows has brought so much shame on the family. And so how does the older prodigal brother respond? Well, it seems that his extravagance is found in self-justification, his need to be right. This older son is prodigal in his unwillingness to accept the grace and love his father has made so very available. Grace and love that's not just available to the youngest brother, but to the older brother as well. And I love this, that just as the father runs out to meet the younger brother upon his return, as soon as the father knows that his oldest son is standing outside that party, refusing to go in, what does that father do? He goes straight out to meet him. My goodness, friends, can you believe the prodigal love of this gracious father? It's a love that's so great that nothing can keep him from offering all that he has to both of his children, whether it's the one who dismissed him by leaving and wasting his livelihood, or it's the one who misunderstood him entirely because he saw himself as a slave instead of a son. Friends, both of these brothers are lost. And yet, somehow, this father has enough love, enough grace, enough room for both of them. For the sinner and the scribe, for the tax collector and the Pharisee, for you and for me and for every last prodigal one of us in this beautiful world. So church, as you think about this father who loves his sons so dearly, do you know that such is the love that God our Father has for each one of God's children? As you think about which character you relate to as this story ends, I wonder, where do we all find ourselves in this story? Are we humble enough to be able to participate in the party of God's grace? Or are we on the outside, stuck in our pride, more concerned about being right than being in relationship? What kind of prodigal are we? And what might it look like if we, like this father, could love extravagantly and extend grace abundantly, even and especially when it is hard, even and especially when it might cost us something? Because, friends, there is a little bit of prodigal in all of us. So God the Father has run out to greet us in our brokenness and our despair. And God the Father has come out to plead with us to join in the celebration of God's amazing grace and love God has for all of God's children. The question for us today, friends, is how will we respond? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.